You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the May 22nd episode of the Locked On Thunder podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your gracious and humble host, Eric G. Thank you so much for making me a part of your day. And today we are going to talk a lot about Jeremy Grant. Well, at least in the first segment. Will he come back to Oklahoma City? If he does come back to Oklahoma City, what type of player will he be? Will he be a starter? Will he be a bench player? Plus, we are into the primary season. We're getting close to midterm elections. And how screwed would we have been as Oklahoma City Thunder fans had we been able to vote on who the coach was and who the GM was for Oklahoma City? Can you imagine if we ran the NBA like we run our election system? How many fan bases would have ultimately botched their chances of winning a championship or at least competing? We'll discuss that in segment number one. In segment number two, we'll talk a little bit about the Eastern and the Western Conference Finals. I'll tell you if the Celtics need to start panicking because they've woken up LeBron James and why the Houston Rockets will win tonight at GSW. Okay, I will do my best on that one. I will give you reasons why, but if I'm wrong, then I'm going to blame, you know what? I'm just going to blame faulty thinking. That's exactly what I'm going to blame. And then in segment number three, we will hear from Trae Young, part two of his interview scrum at the Combine. And if you would like to hear that whole interview in its entirety, you can go to LockedOnThunder.com. And you can also check out our archive podcasts as well as video and audio from players and coaches of the Oklahoma City Thunder. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, my name is Eric G. I did radio in Oklahoma City here for a while. I've covered the Thunder for 5 years now. I also work for another publication called Thunder Digest. Big shout out to Chuck Cheney. And I'm ready to rock and roll. Are you ready to rock and roll? All right, let's talk Jeremy Grant, who said on Friday, and it was in a report by Bleacher Report, or at least the video was put out by Bleacher Report, he can see himself coming back to Oklahoma City. And I'm sure he can. And Sam Presti can see Jeremy Grant coming back to Oklahoma City. And if we take Sam Presti at his word, then he is willing to pay a lot to make sure that this group of Oklahoma City Thunder players stay together for at least one more season. And hopefully staying together that one more season, they make a legitimate run at the NBA Finals. Not just a half-assed, get close, play the Golden State Warriors tough in a seven-game series. No, we're talking about a legitimate run to get to the NBA Finals. And then once you're there, whether you're playing the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Raptors or the Celtics, you feel like you've got a chance to win. If you're going to go over the luxury tax, if you're going to get into the luxury tax 4 out of 5 years, those are the kind of results you better be producing. Because if not, it's just a complete waste of money. And for as great as it is for fans to come watch a competing basketball team in Oklahoma, if you don't have a chance to win a championship, or fans sense that you're going to be good, but you're not going to quite be championship level, then they're going to go watch something else. Especially the closer it gets to spring football and closer it gets to recruiting season. And now there's two recruiting seasons. With as football crazy as this state is, there are other things to occupy their time other than Thunder basketball. And if Jeremy Grant comes back, I get the feeling Jeremy Grant's going to be a starter because Paul George isn't coming back. We all want Paul George to come back, but on July 1st, my prediction on Friday was this, is that he calls Sam Presti, lets him know that the Thunder really aren't in the running, and then he bolts for the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, that's just a gut feeling I have, and what that gut feeling is going off of is everything that was said during this time last year by Paul George and his agent. And there are reports out there that say Paul George has already told people, or was telling people at least last year, he was going to the Lakers, he understood that the Lakers wouldn't trade for him because they really didn't need to. But you bring back Jeremy Grant, and you're going to pay him a lot of money, you might as well start him, which means the Thunder are going to have to do some things to shore up their bench. It's easy for Sam Presti to spend Clay Bennett's money. It's easy for us to spend Clay Bennett's money, but how much do you think Sam Presti really regrets not bringing back Jeremy Grant, or at least not signing him last year when they had the opportunity to lock him up and not allow him to become an unrestricted free agent? Presti explained during his exit interview.
Well, I mean, with respect to that, I mean, I don't know how much I can say on it other than you have to have two people have to cooperate with respect to an extension, right? And you didn't mention the fact that he's potentially extension eligible. With respect to restricted free agency, you just don't know what the market could potentially be. We didn't know what was coming at us. We knew that we were going to have an expensive team. Sometimes people forget that Carmelo's deal is roughly was basically the equivalent of McDermott and Cantor. But what we saw there was a chance for Carmelo to start and play as a stretch player next to these other players. And Doug and Ennis, based on their time here, were more situational players for us. And we had a hard time sometimes. You know, it's when you have Steven Adams, the backup five can sometimes, you know, suffer. Now, Jeremy, fortunately, can play a couple different positions, so that's helped him a great deal. You know, we knew that we were going to check in pretty high anyway. Adding more to that, you know, at that point in time, could have been preventative to other things. And we still have the opportunity to use bird rights at the appropriate time to have conversations with Jeremy. He also is, you know, one of those players that is extension eligible. And at the end of the day, you know, we'll have those conversations, and we're excited about his development. We hope he's excited about his development and the track he's on. But, you know, it's a marketplace, and you have to see where that goes.
You know, when I hear Sam Presti talk, the first thing that kind of comes to my mind is, God, this guy would have been a killer debater. He really would have. Like, in high school, I don't know anything about Sam Presti in high school, but I'm going to assume that he was a part of the debate team. And you can't, look, you can't debate Sam Presti. You may disagree with him. You may think that his moves are completely wackadoodle and stupid when it comes to things like James Harden. And you may want to blame Sam Presti for letting Kevin Durant bolt for Oakland. But try and debate him. That's not an argument I want to get into anytime soon. Of course, other than marrying my wife, there aren't many smart decisions that I've made in this world. Marrying my wife was the smartest thing I ever did, ever will do. Debating Sam Presti, no, that's just that is a lose at all cost proposition. Because no matter what argument you bring to Sam Presti, he is going to figure out a way to defuse it. Which means if he had to run for re-election every 4 years as GM of the Oklahoma City Thunder, anybody that got up and tried to take him on head-to-head would really stand no chance. The only way you could do it, and I mean this sincerely, the only way you could beat Sam Presti if you were running for election against him was to have kind of a Donald Trump attitude, like you just didn't give a damn. And you didn't have to explain things all that well. You just had to throw out a lot of keywords, hopefully you're gonna catch the Oklahoma City Thunder base at a very emotional low, and you're going to be able to prey on that, and then that way you can defeat Sam Presti. But if you're taking him on head-to-head, and you're trying to run a slam campaign against him, and you're trying to drag his name through the mud, no, he is absolutely going to destroy you. And I think about fan bases. You know, fan bases now who would have screwed up had they been able to get rid of either coaches or GMs. First that comes to mind is the Los Angeles Lakers after they traded Shaq to the Miami Heat. And when Mitch Kupchak was the GM of the Los Angeles Lakers, how many times Lakers fans would have gotten rid of him in hopes to make Kobe happy. And doing that, they may not have won those last two championships with Kobe Bryant when he got number 4 and 5. Oklahoma City Thunder fans would have most likely, if it was an election year, gotten rid of Sam Presti after the James Harden trade, and certainly would have gotten rid of him after Kevin Durant left to go to Golden State. But you do that, you don't end up with Steven Adams. Or maybe you do. I guess No, actually, you probably don't end up with Steven Adams, and you certainly don't end up with Paul George, and probably on the plus side, you don't end up with Carmelo Anthony as well. I say all that to say this. I think us as fans, and me for a guy that uses a microphone to make a living, I think it's great for us to have discussions. And there's a lot of times I believe that we are right in our discussions. There are also times when I know that I'm throwing out something that is completely bat blank crazy. Like when I talk about trading, and I don't think it's necessarily the most insane idea, trading Russell Westbrook to get draft picks, there's a part of me as I'm saying that and I'm thinking about it and I'm even putting it out on paper, it's, I hope that Sam Presti's not listening, I hope that Clay Bennett's not listening, and I really hope, more importantly, they're not executing. Actually, I don't care if they're listening. If they're listening, that's great because it can spark great conversation. But the best GMs, and I tell you now, I think Thunder fans, I know Thunder fans would have fired Scott Brooks if they could have after that 2012 defeat to the Miami Heat. That is, you can write that in stone, they would have done it, and Thunder fans would have voted Billy Donovan out of office after this year. Despite the fact that Billy Donovan has had three different rosters, three different years, Thunder fans would have still fired him. So it's good that we don't have this power, because if we do it, we'll destroy a team. We just will. We may think we can do things better than GM, and certainly I think I can host a podcast better than Sam Presti because it'll move a little quicker, and hopefully it'll be a lot more entertaining. But as far as running a basketball team, this guy gets paid a lot of money to do it, and he's done it his entire career, and lots of guys have done it their entire career. Not all of them make great decisions, but I do trust them, and I hope that when they're making decisions, it's based on data, what you've seen on film, and talking to other people inside the business, and not just a gung-ho podcaster like me who's like, fire everyone, because if you do that, you're going to bring the organization to its knees. Coming up, how scared should Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics be about the rest of the series with LeBron James? I'll tell you next. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Thunder podcast. Feel bad for Boston Celtics fans because you know that they blew a golden opportunity to be up 3-1. In fact, I'm surprised that they're not, or I'm shocked that they're not up 3-1, because after games 1 and game 2, I were just fully convinced that the Celtics were a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. As it turns out, they may still be a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers. They just can't win on the road. So with that, let's go ahead and dispel the myth of Brad Stevens being the best coach in the NBA. Sure, he lost Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward, but you can't be 1-6 on the road in the playoffs, even with not your best team, and still be held a genius. Not only that, you can't consider yourself to be a championship team if you can't win on the road. So even if the Celtics do get by the Cleveland Cavaliers, and all they got to win is 2 of the next 3, Brad Stevens made that point perfectly clear last night, you're just essentially going, you're a lamb going to the slaughter. Because this is all about a coronation for the Golden State Warriors. And with the Celtics last night, obviously there's some adjustments that Brad Stevens can make in Boston Sports Radio, talking about who should be on LeBron, who should not be on LeBron today. All that's fine and well. You can't allow the Cavaliers to get 15 turnovers off missed dunks and layups. That just can't happen. And if for some reason you're more comfortable playing at home on the road, that bothers me. That tells me mentally you just don't know how to be comfortable when you go play in someone else's arena. And if you can't play in Cleveland, how are you going to play in Oakland? How are you going to play in Houston if by chance the Rockets come out and win? So good on Brad Davis for being a good NBA coach and getting the Celtics as far as they have been. But I'm going to tap the brakes on Coach of the Year. I'm going to tap the brakes on Best Coach in the NBA until he proves me wrong. And tonight, I want the Houston Rockets to prove me right. Because my prediction is this. After watching the Rockets respond in Game 2, they seem like a team that is going to play better against Golden State when they are challenged and people count them out. And the majority of the world is counting the Rockets out after losing by 41 points, which we well should count the Rockets out. But James Harden, Chris Paul, Trevor Ariza, all proved in game two. Eric Gordon, who's been fabulous in the first couple of games, or at least fabulous in game two. All these guys, I believe when they've got that chip on their shoulder, they're going to play better basketball tonight. But saying that, there's also that little nagging voice in the back of my head saying they've only done it one time. And so far, haven't these conference finals been just absolute garbage? Like last night, did you ever get the sense that the Boston Celtics were going to come back and win that game? I didn't. Once they got down 19, I thought, yeah, they'll chip away, but eventually the Cavs will figure out a way to keep them at arm's length, and that's exactly what will happen. You've had no good games in the Western Conference Finals, except for maybe game one, but let's hope that tonight is not only a good game, but mentally wise, just losing by 41 was just that. You lost by 41. And what Mike D'Antoni said, hey, you've got a lot of rest, so there's really nothing to worry about. You just come back, win it, and whether you lost by 41 or not the night before, win tonight. And the series is tied at 2. Coming up next on the Locked On Thunder podcast, we will speak with Trae Young, and Trae will inform us about his meeting with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Want to plug Locked On Celtics, Cavaliers, Warriors, and Rockets as the Eastern and Western Conference Finals continue. Go to those podcasts for the latest inside information on every single one of those teams. And if you just want some good drama these days, Locked On Patriots, definitely worth checking out as Tom Brady continues to skip OTAs along with Rob Gronkowski. Trae Young, this is part two now of our interview with him. Hey, if you want to hear the entire interview, just go to LockedOnThunder.com, and we don't have it broken up. But if you want it whittled down to bite size, here is part two. We played part one, obviously, yesterday, part two today, and Trae Young talks about his meeting with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
There were some reports that came out that you met with the Thunder. Is that true, and what do you think of the organization?
Yeah, I met with the Thunder. I've been going to Thunder games since they've been there. So I know the organization pretty well. So, yeah, it was a good meeting.
What do you think about the Clippers organization?
I mean, it's a great organization. I met with them as well. There's teams in this draft where I think it's just one piece away, two pieces away from being a team that's in the lottery this year but not next year and can make big impacts. And there's been some teams that I've met with that I feel like if I'm on that team, I can make a big impact for them.
What's this process been like for you guys so far? Could you just give us like a day-to-day of what it's been like?
As far as the combine? Or,
yeah, just what you guys have been going through the past couple days.
Yeah, just interviewing, getting up early, interviews, and I'm getting workouts in. Multiple times in a day, just trying to find different times to get a workout in, and then I have some off-course stuff I have to do.
Trae, how many teams in total have you met with?
I met with 13 total teams.
What was your mindset when you faced a bigger guard or somebody who tried to be physical with you?
I loved it. I love when people try to get physical with me, and they think that's the way to be able to guard me and to get physical with me. But I use that to my advantage. I use different things to my advantage, and that's one thing.
Trae, would you work out for a team as well as Larry? Would you work out for them?
It's all dependent on my agent and where he thinks I should work out and all that. So, to be honest, that stuff's not really left up to me. It's where my agent feels that I should go.
What do you think
about the next point guards? We have a lot of point guards.
Exactly. Yeah.
Frank Ntilikina, I don't know if you know much about him.
Yeah.
Trae Burke is there. Moutier.
Yeah.
What do you think of that group?
I think they all bring something different. We all have something different to the table, and I feel like my overall skill set, my ability to make others around me better, and my ability to help my team win, is unique. And the guys that are there are good point guards. I mean, there's a reason why they're in the NBA. So I just think there's everything. Everybody has different types of games, and I think mine's unique and different compared to theirs.
What would you think about playing with Paul?
Oh, I would love it. I would love playing with a guy like Porzingis who can score, stretch the floor, who can do a lot of different things. But I think I can see myself doing some pretty good things with other teams too.
Are you familiar with Jonathan Isaac at all through the AAU circuits? What do you know about him?
Yeah, I've known Jonathan since I was in high school. We played with each other and against each other in AAU. I've actually talked to him a few times this year. I mean, he's a good dude. I love his skill set. He's a really good player, and he had a really good rookie year. I can't wait to see all his continued success, and for sure.
What would you say the most important thing is that you can take away from this week just by meeting teams and, you know, being around this entire thing?
I mean, I'm still trying to sink all this in. Like, this is such a surreal feeling for me. I think I can just take away, I mean, just the little bits and pieces that I've gotten to know from each and every of these teams. I mean, you only get to meet with them for a certain amount of time, so just those little bits and pieces that I get to meet and talk to them is something that I'm going to take away.
Anything in particular that surprised you about this thing?
Nah, nothing surprises me anymore.
How do you think Coach Kruger prepared you for this next step in your career?
Where do I?
How do you think he has?
I think a lot of it comes within the film room. I watch a lot of film growing up, tremendous amount, but how much film and what we talked about in the film room with Coach Kruger is something that I'm going to take back for sure.
What do you think draft night would be like for you? A lot of people talk about, you kind of think about the journey, you think about the culmination of when you first picked up a basketball, things like that. What do you think draft night will be like for you leading up to it?
I think it's going to be a very fun experience, a fun journey for me. It's been a lot of hard work to get here. If you look back a year ago now, nobody would think I would be in this situation. And so just being here now is something that I'm going to take away and just enjoy and relax and just embrace it all. So that draft night is going to be a great feeling for me.
Why do you think a year ago nobody thought you would be in this situation?
I mean, as far as a one and done, I mean, a lot of people had me the fourth or fifth best point guard in my class, and so I felt like I had something to prove coming into this year, and I think I did pretty well at that this year, but I know I got a lot of hard work and a lot of stuff I got to get better at.
Do
you still have a chip on your shoulder like that?
I'll always have a chip on my shoulder until I hang my shoes up. no matter how long I play this game, the chip on my shoulder will always be there, and that won't change.
Trent, you're fantastic.
As always.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Can you go do an interview with ESPN?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem. Trent, thanks. Yep. Appreciate it, man. Good luck to you.
That'll wrap up the Locked On Thunder podcast for today. Join us tomorrow, and we will talk more about the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. And you know what? I'm going to get into, could in fact, Russell Westbrook be going through a LeBron-esque situation with his career? I'll explain all that tomorrow. Until then, ELE, peace, love, and thunder up.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily Oklahoma City Thunder podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.